All right, Shabbosai, good morning, a good night. Yashikach to Maishi, to Dr. Lingbaum, and to everyone for joining us here for learning. Okay, so first of all, to thank our sponsors for this morning's shir, to thank our Talmud Torah sponsors for the month of Nisan. Yeah, I'm keeping it on my desk. Right, it's right next to me. It looks like it's picking up okay. I know that it's rubbing against everything. So we'll try this. I'm sorry? Good. So to thank our Talmud Torah sponsors for the month of Nisan, Frank and Debbie Spector, for dedicating the Shurim and Drushos this month in deep gratitude to the entire Kehila. To thank Paul and Kathy Pollack for dedicating the Shurim and Drushos this month in memory of Paul's father, Shmuel ben Zecharyo, his mother, Sarah Bas Avram, great-grandmother, Tzirel Bas Rab Dov. We thank our Dafyomi sponsors. Through Yomtiv and Isruchag, Heshi and Sandy Schoenfeld, and Menachem and Susie Schoenfeld, in the memory of Heshi's mother, Selina Schoenfeld, Sarah Leah, Bas Moshe Levi, and to thank today's Dafyomi sponsor, Joseph and Ellen Miller, in memory of Mrs. Miller's mother, Eska Pearl, Bas Hirschlev. We hope them to the merit of our Talmud Torah. The Neshamas will have an Aliyah, and the families a Nechama. And Abosi, with that, let us begin. We have a very beautiful daf ahead of us today. Today's daf is Lamed Ches 38, and we are going to pick up Emir Tzashem on Lamed Zayin Amid Beis. Literally again, I'm going to put this over here. Literally again, the last two words on the daf. But Minei Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba. So let's remember again, so we're still talking in the same sugya, regarding the halachos of Chazara / Shehiyah. I should say Shehiyah / Chazara. Both the discussion regarding maintaining food on an open flame or on a flame Erev Shabbos going into Shabbos, as well as the circumstances under which one would be permitted to go ahead and return food to the flame or to a covered flame on Shabbos Kodesh. So the Gemara says as follows. So they asked the following Shaila of Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba. What was the Shaila? So the Gemara says, Tap of Lamiches, Shokach Kedira Gabi Kira, Ubishla B'Shabbos Mahu. What's the halacha if one forgot a pot of food on top of a kira, on top of a stove, which was not covered. So the assumption over here is, according to the opinion who holds that halacha lemaisa, the fire must be, the heat source must be covered or removed, Erev Shabbos, going into Shabbos. So what happens if halacha lemaisa, one forgot a pot of food on the fire Friday afternoon going into Shabbos, and therefore as a result, over the course of Shabbos or Friday night, so the food ends up becoming cooked. So what's the halacha? Mahu? So the Gemara says, Ishtik velo amr lemidi. So remember again, this is Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba, and this was a question being asked Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba. So Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba was silent, and he didn't velo amr velo midi. He didn't answer anything. L'machar nafik darish lehu. The next morning he went out and he made the following drasha: Hamavashal b'Shabbos b'shogeg yochal. If one inadvertently commits an act of bishul on Shabbos, he is permitted to go ahead and partake of the food that he accidentally cooked. However, b'meizid, but halacha l'maisa, if one went ahead and cooked b'meizid on Shabbos, intentionally on Shabbos, lo yochal v'lo shna. Ultimately, again, one is not permitted to partake of it, v'lo shna. And literally, again, there's no distinction. There's no distinction. So before we get to the no distinction, we'll have a look at this. So this is a very important halacha that we'll actually see this a bit later on in the Gemara as well, which is what is the ramification, what is the result of inadvertent Shabbos violation. So remember again, here you have Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba saying that if a person cooks on Shabbos, if he does it unintentionally, yochal. They will say, we're going to see that in reality, any time you commit a malacha on Shabbos, you are in fact not permitted to derive benefit from that malacha on Shabbos. Bepashtos, again, we'll see certain exceptions, But for now, what Reb Chiya bar Abba seems to be saying is as follows. Halacha l'maisa, if you inadvertently cooked on Shabbos, b'shogig, if you did it accidentally, yochal, you are permitted to eat it. B'mezid, however, if you did it intentionally, lo yochal, you can't eat it, veloshna, and there's no distinction. So says the Gemara, my veloshna, what does it mean there's no distinction? So Rabba v'Rav Yosef damar t'avayu lehetira. There's no distinction, ultimately, again, for heter purposes. What does this mean? So the Gemara says, ultimately, again, that halacha lemaisa, it would be permitted. So the Gemara says, mevashel hu de ka'avid maisa b'mezid lo yochal, aval hay de lo ka'avid maisa b'mezid nami yochal. So we'll say, remember again, there's a fundamental distinction between the case which was asked of Rav Chiya bar Abba and the case in which he gave shear. The case he was asked about was a situation where one put the pot on the, let's say, the flame, Erev Shabbos going into Shabbos, and he forgot about it. So ideally he was supposed to cover his flame. He made a mistake. He didn't cover the flame. So now what ends up happening is a prohibited act occurs. But remember, the important point to remember over here is that in this particular situation, this individual didn't do a malacha. Why didn't do a malacha? He put something on the fire Erev Shabbos going into Shabbos, but Lamaisi didn't do a malacha. The case that Rav Chiya bar Abba darshaned about was a situation where a person does a malacha on Shabbos. So in that case, Rav Chiya bar Abba says, if he does the malacha b'shogeg, he's permitted to eat it. If he does the malacha b'mezid, he's not permitted to eat it. So what do you see from here? It's only in the case, ultimately, again, of mezid, where a person performs an act of malacha, that ultimately, again, he will be chayiv, or I should say, he can't eat it. But in the case that was posed to Rav Chiya bar Abba, where the person didn't do a malacha, in other words, he may have made a mistake. The mistake was what? You have to keep the fire, you have to keep the heat source covered, or somehow modified Erev Shabbos going into Shabbos. But one thing is clear, which is the individual did not commit a malacha. Therefore, what do you see from here? The halacha should be, therefore, that one should be permitted to go ahead and consume that which was left on the fire Erev Shabbos going into Shabbos. So the Gemara says, aval hay, delo ka'avid maisa, b'mezid nami yochal. It would appear that in this case, where the individual, even if he, right, where he did not do a maisa b'mez, in other words, suppose I remember, the case that's being asked is, I put food on the stove, Erev Shabbos going into Shabbos. While it is true that I should have modified my heat source in some way, right, meaning I should have gone ahead and either removed the heat source or covered the heat source, but la maisa, I did not do something which could be looked at as a Maisa Chil Shabbos B'mezid. So therefore, I should be permitted to go ahead and partake of it. So the Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak Amar, Li Surah. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak says, no. The Lo Shna that was mentioned before was Li Surah, to say that it's prohibited. Mevashel hu delo asi la'arume b'shogig yochal, aval hay de asi la'arume b'shogig nami lo yochal. So we'll say, interestingly enough, Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak comes along and he says as follows. He says, in reality, the case that's being asked over here is li'isura. Ultimately, again, should be prohibited. Why should it be prohibited? Well, says, listen to this case. Remember, just to clarify, there are two cases that are unfolding over here. Case number one was the case that was asked Rav Chiya bar Abba. That was a case of where a person forgot food on the stovetop, Erev Shabbos going into Shabbos, and failed to take the necessary measures to modify the heat source Erev Shabbos going into Shabbos. He should have, for our purposes, he should have put on a blech. He didn't put on a blech. Okay, so now the food ends up, quote-unquote, cooking over the course of Shabbos. Am I permitted to partake of the food or not? That was the Shaila post Rav Chiya bar Abba. Rav Chiya bar Abba apparently didn't have an answer for that particular Shaila. Okay, I'm sorry, I just have to close my window for a second. I'm sorry. So that was the Shaila that was posed to Rav Chiya bar Abba. So he doesn't answer that Shaila. But instead what he does do is, the next morning, he gets up and he gives a shear. What's his shear? His shear is about a case of Hamavashl b'Shabbos. One who goes ahead and cooks on Shabbos. So there he said, if a person cooks b'shogeg, he is permitted to go ahead and get benefit from that which he cooked. But if he cooked b'mizid, he's not permitted to go ahead and get benefit from that which he cooked. But then Chibar Abba adds in the words v'loshna, and there's no distinction. So the shayla is, how do you interpret that statement, there's no distinction? So Rabbi and Rav Yosef say, v'loshna means like this. The only case where Chibar Abba assert an act of cooking on Shabbos is mamish, where you went ahead and you did something usser, right? Ultimately, again, you did a maisa. But in the case that was posed to him, where you didn't do a maisa, you left it on the flame, Erev Shabbos, going into Shabbos, it's true, it cooked on Shabbos, but I didn't do anything. Therefore, the result ultimately should be permitted. Comes along Rav Nachman by Yitzchak, and he says, no. In fact, in the question posed to Rav Chiya bar Abba, the net result should be aser. Why? Mevashelhu de la asir lerume b'shoge yochal. Because Rabbi say, remember, in a case of bishol, so there are two cases. There's mezid and shogeg. If you accidentally cooked something on Shabbos, we are not concerned that you're going to come to go ahead and intentionally do something. In other words, if we permit you to eat that which you cooked b'shogeg, we're not concerned that you're going to come to do it b'mezid. Aval hai da asir la'arume b'shogeg nami lo yochal. But I will say, in this case over here, meaning the case posed to him, which is if we allow you to consume food that was left on the fire Erev Shabbos going into Shabbos, what are we concerned about? If we allow you to eat that this week, that you may come to have another accident, a quote-unquote accident, next week. So therefore, out of concern of that a person may, quote-unquote, intentionally, leave food on the open flame Erev Shabbos going into Shabbos, so halacha l'maisa, we will prohibit the result of that malacha. So therefore, machlokes regarding What do we do ultimately, again, in a situation where a person forgot food on an open flame, Erev Shabbos going into Shabbos? So Meisvei, the Gemara is the Kasha, Shachach Kedera Gabe Kira Ubishlo. If a person forgot food on a stovetop, on a right stovetop, and it cooked over the course of Shabbos, so what's the halacha? B'shoge yochal, b'mezid lo yochal. If it happened accidentally, you're permitted to get benefits from it. But if you did it b'mezid, you are not permitted to get benefits from it. When is this true? B'chamen shlohuchmu kol tzorchan. We'll say, when is this true? This is only true with hot water, which was not fully cooked. The tafsho shlobishal kol tzorcho, or a food item which was not fully cooked. Aval chamen shlohuchmu kol tzorchan. But if you have hot water which was heated up fully, the tavshol shabishal kol tzarcho, or a cooked food which was fully cooked as well, bein b'shogeg, bein b'mezid yochal. Whether you went ahead and you did this intentionally or unintentionally, the halacha is that you are permitted to go ahead and eat it. Div Rabbi Meir, these are the words of Rabbi Meir, because we'll say again, Rabbi Meir seems to be saying that halacha l'maisa, if the item was fully cooked anyway, your quote-unquote act of cooking didn't really have that much of a ramification. Rabbi Huda says no. Chamin shuhuchmu kol tzarchan mutarin mipnei shemitztamek viralo. So Rabbi Huda holds that halacha l'maisa, if you have hot water that was fully cooked, halacha l'maisa, you're permitted to go ahead and you accidentally or intentionally reheated it. Halacha l'maisa, it's mutar. Why? Mipnei shemitztamek viralo. Because any further act of cooking is deemed to be detrimental. Why is it detrimental? Because we'll say, once you have water that was fully heated, any subsequent cooking done to that water causes the water to evaporate and diminishes the amount of water you have at your disposal. But however, if you have food that is fully cooked, even if you cook it more, it'll still be aser. Why? Mipnei shemitztamek v'yafalo. Because the assumption is that any further cooking you do to a fully cooked item will only further benefit the item. And anything that you continuously cook and the additional cooking is beneficial. Kigon, for example, kruv. Kruv is cabbage. Pulim are lentils or beans. Basar taruf, minced meat. Aser, Ultimately, again, these are items where if you continuously cook them, they will still benefit, and therefore it's asr. And anything ultimately, again, that you continuously cook, and the item or the quality of the item is eroded by continuous cooking, ultimately, again, will be mutter. So we'll say, what do you see from here? Katari miha. We'll say, but what do you see from here? You see from here in a case of a food item that was not fully cooked. So according to Rav Nachman by Yitzchak, this one poses a kasha. Why? Kan kodim gezera, kan la'achar gezera. One case is talking about before the gezera, and the other case is talking about after the gezera. Now we'll say, we're going to see what the gezera is in just a moment. Ela Rabba v'Rav Yosef damer le'atira. But according to Rabbi and Rav Yosef, who both say that the loshna of Rav Chiya bar Abba was coming to be matir, so he called them gezera kasha mezid. If we're talking about before the gezera, then ultimately again there's a kasha on the intentional case. Ila acher gezera kasha nami shogeg. And if it's after the gezera, then even the shogeg case poses a problem as well. So we'll say, okay, so this will just make sense in just a moment. My gezerta, what's the gezera that you're talking about over here? Dam Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel Amar Rav Abba Bar Kana Amar Rav. We'll say here, this is fascinating. B'tchila hayu omrim. In the beginning, they used to say as follows. Watch this. Hamavashal b'shabbes b'shogeg yochal. So what's in the beginning, used to say as follows. That if a person cooked on Shabbos b'shogeg, right? I accidentally cooked something on Shabbos. So what's the halacha? Yochal. You're permitted to go ahead and consume it, right? Bemezid lo yochal. But if you did it intentionally, then halacha lemaisa, you should not eat it. Vehu hadin l'shocheach. And the same halacha applies to someone who forgets an item on the fire, and the item ends up cooking. Now what's the same halacha? I'll say, look at Rashi. Vehu hadin l'shocheach. Damashen nami mi be'od yom. Im shachach b'shogeg yochal. Ve'im bemezid hisha. Lo yochal, kila bishla biyadayim b'shabbos. So we'll say, now watch this. In the first iteration of the halacha was quite simple. There were two cases, shogeg and mezid. If you accidentally cooked, you were permitted to go ahead and get benefit from that which you cooked. If you intentionally cooked, you could not get benefit from that which you cooked. Now we'll say, now in this first iteration of the halacha, it was no different if you mamish did the maisa on Shabbos or you did the maisa on Erev Shabbos. So for example, the maisa on Shabbos, Rabbi Yosef, is very clear. You wake up in the morning, you forgot that it's Shabbos, you made yourself an omelet. What's the halacha? In the first iteration of the halacha, what's the halacha? So shogeg sounds like it's permitted. Now what permitted means, we'll have to say halacha l'maisa, but let's assume for a moment now that it means literally you are permitted to go ahead and partake of that omelet. Right? So if you did it b'shogeg, it's mutter. If you did it b'mezid, it's aser. And in the first iteration of the halacha, it was the same as if it was the same. Let's say Rabbi Yosef, if you purposely maintained food on an uncovered fire, Erev Shabbos going into Shabbos, so if you did it b'mezid, you would not be permitted to get benefit from the item that was cooked. And if you did it b'shogeg, you would be permitted to get benefit. That was the first iteration of the halacha. However, Misherab hu mashen b'mezid, v'omrim shecheichim ashecheichim anu. So we'll say what happened. There was a proliferation of amnesia, right? The proliferation of forgetfulness. So what amazing how that happens. So I'll say, so what happens? There were people putting food on open flames, Erev Shabbos going into Shabbos, and claiming that they forgot about the food on the fire once Shabbos had started. They forgot. They mamish forgot. So once there was a proliferation of forgetfulness, what happened? Chazru v'kinsu ala shocheach. They went ahead and what? They went ahead and imposed the knas and imposed the penalty on those who forget. So essentially, mostly what they did is they made forgetfulness. They made forgetfulness like a mezid. And in the same way, in the case of mezid, ultimately, again, you cannot get benefit from the malacha. So too, in a case of forgetfulness, they said you cannot get benefit ultimately, again, from the malacha. So as it happens to be, it's really quite amazing. So just see, follow the progression of the halacha. So in the first iteration of the halacha, there were just two categories. There was shoging and there was mazid. And we're not making distinctions in the cases. In other words, whether this is a case of where you cook on Shabbos or whether it was a case where you made a mistake from Erev Shabbos going into Shabbos, there's only two categories. If you're a shogeg, you could get benefit. And if you're a mazid, you can't get benefit. What ended up happening is the rabbi saw that people were putting food on open flames Erev Shabbos going into Shabbos. And whereas they should have put a blech on, then once Shabbos was beginning, they didn't do so. And instead what they just did is they claimed forgetfulness. So we'll say at that point in time, Chazal said, okay, version two. And version two is that we're going to treat forgetfulness, shocheach, ultimately again like mezid. Which Abba say sounds like what? Therefore again, if you forgot food on an open flame, Erev Shabbos into Shabbos, in a situation where you should have put a blech on your flame, what it sounds like is you would not be permitted to go ahead and get benefit from that food that cooks on Shabbos. So Kasha Rab Meir Ad Rab Meir, Kasha Rab Yehuda Ad Rab Yehuda. So we'll say the problem is as follows. This approach poses a contradiction both to Rab Meir and to Rab Yehuda. Now we'll say this goes back to yesterday's daf. If you take a look at Rashi, Kasha Rab Meir Ad Rab Meir, Disnan La'el Baresh Pirkin, L'Rab Meir Aliba De Beis Hillel Chamin Avalo Tavshil, V'Hacha Shari Chamin V'Tavshil Shabishal Kol Tzarchos. So we'll say, so both according to Rab Meir and Rabbi Huda from yesterday's daf, this poses a kasha. To which the Gemara says, Rab Meir Lo Kasha Halacha Tchila Hadi Eved. So we could resolve the machlokis just Rab Meir by one case talking about Lacha Tchila, one talking about B'di Eved. Rabbi Huda, Nami Lo Kasha, Kan Begruf Bektuma, Kan Beshena Gruf Bektuma. And both say, even according to Rabbi Huda, there's also no contradiction. How so? That according to Rabbi Huda, one case could be talking about a stovetop that is Gruf and Ketuma, and one is not. So we'll say, so ultimately again, so then the Gemara asks the question again. We're going to go through it once more, then we'll resolve it. Ibai Lahu, Avar V'Shamai. So we'll say, here's what's interesting. So remember, just so we hold cup on here. So the question they asked from Chia Bar Abba was the case of Shachach Kidera Al-Gabe Kira U'Bishla B'Shabbos. So what happens if halacha lamaisa one forgot a pot of food on top of an uncovered stovetop, Erev Shabbos going into Shabbos, in a situation where the stovetop needed to be covered, meaning where the stovetop needed to be gruf or ketuma. So what happens now? The food ends up cooking on Shabbos. I just want to point out something very important. Remember, inherently, there's no problem with food cooking on Shabbos, right? Let's be clear on this. Right? So how do we know this? So most of us eat chalent on Shabbos. Most times chalent is not fully cooked at the start of Shabbos. And a lot of times we have food that's on a blach that is still continuing cooking on Shabbos. Remember again, it's okay to have food that cooks over Shabbos as long as you have made your stovetop Sabbath friendly, right? As long as you've made the proper modifications, which for our purposes, which the Gemara calls grufa and kituma, which for our purposes means a blech. The shayla they were asking of Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba was, what happens if one did not modify their stovetop in the right way? One didn't make the stovetop grufa and kituma, and the food continuously cooked. What is the status of the food? Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba doesn't answer that. It sounds like the answer that we have is as follows. In the beginning, we had two categories, shogig and mazid. If you accidentally cooked, you could eat the food. If you intentionally cooked, you can't eat the food. Subsequently, they came along and they said, they made a knas on shochiach, on a case of forgetfulness. Because again, like we said before, there was a proliferation of forgetfulness. People were saying they forgot, but they really weren't forgetting, they were abusing the halacha. Therefore, forgetfulness became like mazid. That's what it sounds like. The Gemara asked the question again. Ibailu, avar v'shahamai. They both say, what happens if a person left food on a stovetop without putting the blech on, without doing gruf and ketuma, and the food cooked? What's the status of the food? Mi kansu rabbanan olo. did the rabbis penalize such an individual or not? Tashma, da'amar Shmuel bar Nasan, amar b'chanina, kishalach Rabbi Yossi letzipori. When Rabbi Yossi went to Tzipori, matza chamin, shenishtel al gabikira, v'lo asra lahen, he found water. He found water that was cooking on a stovetop. Erev Shabbos going into Shabbos. The stovetop was not garuf o katum, right? There was no blech put on it. And yet what? Rabbi Yossi did not prohibit the water. Similarly, Beitzim mitzumakos sheneshtahu al gabekira. He found eggs, which were also cooking on the stovetop and were continuously cooking on the stovetop. And he said the eggs are aser. You can't eat the eggs, right? So the Gemara says, so what do you see from Rabbi Yossi? Now what's the distinction? Now the distinction we're going to see is water, once it's cooked, is mitztamik v'ralo. Any additional cooking is detrimental. Also, why is any additional cooking to water detrimental? Very simple. Why? Because halacha l'maisa, the water evaporates. Right? Now, apparently, eggs, as we're going to see, is something where if you continuously cook it, additional cooking is beneficial. So here you see, so the Gemara says, what happened? My love, la'osu Shabbos. Now, both say, when we say that Rabbi Yossi was matir the water and asr the eggs, does it not mean for that Shabbos? So you see over here that Allah Chalamayis Rabbi Yossi holds that if you illegally maintained food on a flame, Erev Shabbos going into Shabbos, if it's mitstamek v'yafelo, it's aser. If it's mitstamek v'ralo, it's mutter. To which the Gemara says, lo, l'Shabbos haba. No, rather what it means, he actually didn't aser it for that Shabbos. But rather what it means is that halacha l'maisi, he said, you can't do this practice next Shabbos, but he actually permitted the food for consumption on that very Shabbos. To which the Gemara says, so therefore, there's no raya. It could very well be that Rabbi Yossi was saying, as much as this isn't a legal practice, you shouldn't do it, but if you did it, the food is still going to be permitted. So the Gemara says, here we go. The Gemara just sidetracks over. So what it sounds like, just instead from this story, what it sounds like is, if you went ahead and you illegally maintained food on a flame, Erev Shabbos going into Shabbos, what it sounds like is you shouldn't do it, but if you did it, the food is permitted for consumption. That's what it sounds like. We're going to see what the halacha is in just a moment. The Gemara just sidetracks. Mechlal debetzim mitzumakos mitztamkos v'yafalayim. So I'll say just as an aside thing, it sounds like from this case that eggs, the more you cook it, the better they are. To which the Gemara says, in, yes, that is correct. Damaram chamar bachanina, pam achas nis arachti ani v'rebi lemakom acher. So because what Rabbi Chaim Bar Chanina says, one time Rabbi and I were in the same place. And they brought us cooked eggs that were so cooked, that ultimately, again, they became as small as, literally again, kuzdarin, or sorb apples, very small apples. And we ate a lot of them. That's interesting. So apparently they ate a lot of cooked eggs. So the culinary takeaway from this is that apparently the more you cook eggs, the better they are. The truth is, there's not much else to do on Chol HaMoed. So you might, there's a good Chol HaMoed activity with the kids. Hey, so we'll say, so again, how long can you cook eggs for and how good do they become? So we'll say, so just halacha l'maisa. So there are two very important pieces of halacha that come out of this. So number one, we have two questions. Number one, in general, when you do malacha on Shabbos, right, are you permitted to benefit from that malacha done on Shabbos? So that's shaila number one. And shaila number two is it the same halacha if you were to go ahead and start something on Erev Shabbos, which were to continue into Shabbos itself? So I'll say, so let me go a little bit out of order here just for a moment. So first, the first halacha is in Simen Shin Yud Ches. So in Shin Yud Ches, sorry. In Shin Yud Ches, the Shulchan Aruch says as follows. Hamavashal b'Shabbos. Suppose this is the Shulchan Aruch Simen Shin Yud Ches. This is talking about an act done fully on Shabbos itself. Hamavashal b'Shabbos. And by the way, it's not just Bishul, the Ramah as in, or any malacha. You do any malacha on Shabbos, b'mezid, if you do the malacha intentionally, aser lo li olam, ulaachirim mutar lemotzai shamis miyat. So both say, if you intentionally do a malacha on Shabbos, so for example, I get up Shabbos morning, I want to make myself an omelet. I know that it's Shabbos, and I know that I'm not allowed to cook on Shabbos, but for some reason, it's harder for the omelet, is just too overwhelming, and I do it anyway. So that is a malacha b'mezid on Shabbos. That omelet is forever prohibited to me. I am never permitted to eat it. Others are permitted to eat it when? Matzah Shabbos. So Matzah Shabbos after Shabbos, others are permitted to go ahead and benefit from my malacha. However, what happens if I did it b'shogeg? What happens if I cooked the omelet b'shogeg? I forgot. I woke up Shabbos morning. I forgot that it was Shabbos. I went ahead and cooked the omelet. What's the halacha? Aser bo bayom gam la'achirim ule'erev muter lo gam miyad. Suppose that the halacha is, if you do a malacha b'shogeg, no one is permitted to benefit on Shabbos, but halacha l'maisa, I and others could get benefit from it on Matzah Shabbos. People say, that is the standard halacha. Anytime you intentionally benefit, anytime you do intentionally do malacha on Shabbos, you, meaning the person who committed the malacha, is never permitted to benefit from that malacha. Others are permitted to benefit, but only after Shabbos. If I did the malacha unintentionally, b'shogeg, still, no one is permitted to benefit from that malacha on Shabbos itself, but Allah Almighty, I together with others could benefit from that malacha on Matzah Shabbos. So we'll say that. Now remember, this is a very specific case. What is this case? This is the case ultimately of one who's doing a malacha on Shabbos. Then I will say part two. What's part two of this? Part two is what happens if I put food on the stovetop on Erev Shabbos, and really it's a case where what? I was supposed to go ahead and cover the flame, but I neglected to do so, whether I neglected to do so, b'shogeg or b'mezid. So what's the halacha? So we'll say again, this is very lemaisa. I put the soup on the fire Erev Shabbos to cook. I was supposed to go ahead and before Shabbos put a blech underneath the soup. I didn't put a blech underneath the soup. The soup continued to cook into Shabbos. So can I eat the soup or not? So listen to this. So now this is back to Simon Reish Nun Gimel Sif Aleph. So the Shulchan Aruch writes as follows. The Shulchan Aruch writes, I'm sorry, I'm just finding this case. Vim Shachach Vishah. So we'll say, so listen to this. If I went ahead, and so now let's talk about, remember, same distinction, Shogeg Mezid. If I accidentally maintained it on the flame going into Shabbos, and as I forgot to put on the blech, Imutav Shul Shabishal Kol Tzarko, Mutar Afilu Mitztamik V'yafalo. So if it is a fully cooked item, even if subsequent cooking is beneficial for it, halacha l'maisa, I could get benefit from it on Shabbos. However, if the item was not fully cooked, then I have to wait until Matzah Shabbos to go ahead and get benefit from it. However, im avar v'shah, if I did it b'mezid, then aser b'shneim. Then ultimately, again, you have to wait till Matzah Shabbos. So I will say, so the halacha is as follows. If I maintained food on a flame going into Shabbos, in a situation where I was supposed to put a blech on, going back to yesterday's shir, so if I did it unintentionally, if I was b'shogeg, so it depends. If the food was fully cooked, even if subsequent cooking ultimately, again, was beneficial, I could benefit from the food on Shabbos. If, however, again, the food was not fully cooked, then halacha l'maisa, I must go ahead and wait until Matzah Shabbos. And if I did it intentionally, then in all cases, I must wait until Matzah Shabbos. Good. So now you have the halachas, both for general violation of malacha on Shabbos, as well as for the specific case of shihiyah. Beautiful. Beisila omrim af machzirin. Supposed to remember again, it says the Mishnah. Beisila, going back to the Mishnah now, Beisila says that halacha l'maisa, you could even do chazara. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes says as follows, L'divrei ha'omer machzirin. Supposed to remember again, we're now transitioning a little bit. Supposed to say, this is very exciting, very exciting. You know, sometimes it's hard to feel the excitement of the Olam over Zoom. Good, thank you, Dr. Gavant. I appreciate that. Good, so good, Ari Ashkar, thank you. Sometimes I'm like here alone on the island a little bit. Good. So I will say, so the Gemara says as follows. So remember, up until now, we've been speaking about Shehiyah. Right? Speaking about Shehiyah. Maintaining food on a flame Erev Shabbos going into Shabbos. So I will say, so remember again, quick review of Shehiyah. Quick review. So Shehiyah, I was going to say Shehiyah for dummies. But Chas HaShalom, no, I don't mean it like that. I mean like the simple, thank you, Rabbi Ziffer, Shkoyach, right? Right, so I'll say, so again, the simple Shehiyah is Machlokis Chananya and the Rabbanan, right? So Chananya says, the truth is, the halachos of Shia are very simple. What are the halachos of Shia? Get your food up to Michael ben Jerusai and you're good to go. You don't need Gruf or Ketuma, get Michael ben Jerusai. Rabbanan say no. If the food is not fully cooked, you need Gruf and Ketuma. So we saw, halacha lamaisa, how do we paskin? Well, the Shulchan Aruch records two opinions. Right, and the Ramah seems to side with the second one, which is like Chananya, which is quite surprising. But for us, halacha lemaisa, what we do is the food must be fully cooked at the onset of Shabbos. That's the ideal. If the food is not fully cooked, then ideally one should use a blech. Right, they both say the blech is the way that we go ahead and we fulfill the obligation of kituma. Kituma means going ahead and putting a covering of ash on top of your coals to blunt the cooking ability of the fire. We accomplish that with a blech. With a blech. So therefore, again, halacha l'maisa, for our purposes, if the food is not fully cooked, halacha l'maisa, you're going to put a blech on your stovetop on Shabbos. You saw machlokes, Reb Moshe, Reb Aaron Cutler, does the blech have to cover the knobs or not? Okay, leaving that aside, assuming the blech doesn't have to cover the knobs, you put the blech, that is your kituma. That is your kituma, and that allows you to maintain food on the fire Erev Shabbos going into Shabbos. There's something else that your blech allows you to do, Rabosai, which is what? Something called chazara, returning the food to the fire. Now, Rabosai, now we come to a very important point, because everyone is going to agree that what? Everyone is going to agree that halacha lemaisa, even if you hold that you can maintain food on an open flame, let's say Chananya says that you could maintain food on an open flame as long as your food is kemeichel ben drusai, that only helps you getting into Shabbos with food on the flame. What does that not allow? What does that not allow? Returning food to the fire. And that everyone agrees with, Rabbi Osai. Remember again, everyone agrees you can never, under any circumstances, return food to an open flame on Shabbos Kodesh. Remember again, not Yom Tov. On Shabbos, you cannot return food to an open flame. No way, no how, no exceptions, nada, nothing. So we'll say, now we're transitioning to part two of the conversation. So remember again, halacha lemaisa, we're going to say that if you want to maintain food on your stovetop Erev Shabbos, unless your food is fully cooked, you really should ideally use a blech. Okay, so that's halacha lemaisa. Now we're transitioning. Comes on Beis Hillel. Beis Hillel says, by the way, if your flame is also covered, that also allows you to do chazara. That also allows you to go ahead and return food to the covered flame. Now, Rabbi said, we're going to see. Now, again, I gave this away a little bit because we actually had this discussion at the end of Shir, but now we're going to see it inside. So here we go, Rabbi said. So the Divrei Omer Machzirin, so Rav Sheshi says as follows, according to the opinion who says that you could return food to a covered flame on Shabbos, Machzirin Afilu B'Shabbos, you can go ahead and return food to the fire even on Shabbos itself. Now, Rabbi said, now what does on Shabbos mean? Take a look at Rashi. Machzirin Afilu B'Shabbos, P'yom HaMacharas. You could even go ahead and return food to the fire on Shabbos day itself. V'lo tema pultaihu mishech hashecha. V'hasamu d'sharim mishun demuchacham nosa da'adaita da'adur l'tzorech machar shakile. Aval b'yom lo muchach d'shakile a'adaita da'adure u'batla lahatmana. V'avile kimatim l'chatzchil. Both say, this is dramatic. This is really dramatic. What the Gemara is saying is like this, and we said this outside yesterday. In order to be able to go out and do chazara, in order to return food to the blech, to the covered fire, the connection between the food and the fire must be unbroken. So I would assume that therefore, if the bond between the food and the covered fire must be unbroken, then the only circumstance in which you could do chazara is when? On Friday night. On Friday night, because we'll say, then what's happening? You're taking the food off the fire. You're putting the food back onto the fire. So the assumption is that halacha lemaisa, that connection is established. But I would not think that chazara could be done on Shabbos day. Because there was some other, again, by the time you come to Shabbos day, I would assume that the connection between the food and the fire has already been broken. To which the Gemara says, no. In fact, as we're going to see, there are circumstances where you could return food to the fire even on Shabbos day. What are those cases? Here we go. Vaf Raboshi Asavar, Af Machzirin Afila B'Shabbos. Raboshi says you could even go ahead and do Chazara even on Shabbos day. Listen to this. Dam Raboshi. Pam achos hayinu omdim le'ila mi Reb Chiya bar Abba. One time we were standing with Reb Chiya bar Abba. And what happened? Ve'alonu lo kumkumus shalchamin midiuta tachtona lidiuta alyona. And what happened? We brought him literally a pot or like a kettle, a small pot of hot water, and we brought it up from the lower story to the upper story, right? It was Reb Chiya Rabba was in the upper story. See here, Reb Oshia is saying we brought him a pot of water, a little kettle of water, from the lower story to the upper story. And what happened? Umazgul asakos, we poured him some water, ve'achzarno limkomo, and then we brought it back down. We brought it back down afterwards. V'lo amar lanu davar. And ultimately, again, he didn't say anything to us. So I say, so what do you see from here? So again, remember, you're seeing a couple of things from this story. We're seeing ultimately again from this story that Abu say, not only is shehiyah permitted, but chazara, returning an item to the covered heat source, will also be permitted on Shabbos. And not only that, Abu say, what's novel about this case? Dramatic about this case. You might have thought that maybe the only way to do chazara is how? Take the item off the stove, off the covered fire, quickly use it, and then what? Quickly put it back. What's happening in this case of Rabosai? This is the story of the traveling kettle. Mamish, it starts out downstairs, it goes upstairs, it comes back downstairs, it goes back onto the stovetop. So it's Mamish traveling. See, so you see here that Chazora could occur even if what? Even if the kettle Mamish has made the journey through multiple stories, which Rabosai tells you something amazing. You see, you have to appreciate the drama of this. The bond between a pot and its covered fire is a very strong bond. But I might have thought that that bond requires proximity. And once proximity is broken, chazara can no longer occur. What do you see from here? You see from here that even if there's no proximity, again, I'll both say, remember again, that's the novelty in this case. I'm taking a pot from the stovetop in the lower story, and I'm taking it up multiple stories. The proximity, the geographic proximity, has been broken. Yet what? That beautiful bond between a pot and its covered fire remains. Well, see, hear the drama in this, right? It remains. That bond still remains. So that's an incredible chiddush. So we'll say, now the shayla is, how do you maintain that bond? So Rav Zik, Amar Abba, Amar Rav Tadoi, Lo shanu ela sha'odan biyado. Oh, I will say, here we go. Again, I apologize. I gave this away a little bit to you yesterday, and therefore took away some of the drama. How do you maintain the bond between the pot and the fire and the covered fire as long as you didn't put down the pot? Odan biyado. Now, right, criteria number one is that ultimately, again, the pot is still in your hand. Avalenichen adabe karka. But I will say, if you were to take the pot and put it on the floor, then what? Usser. Usser also means what? You would no longer be permitted to return that pot back to the fire. You're about to say, why not? Why not? Because remember, you're about to say, what is this about? This is all maintaining that bond between the pot and the covered flame. What happens once you put the pot down on the ground? The connection between the pot and the covered flame has been broken. And once it's been broken, halacha lemaisa chazara becomes aser. Now, we'll say the truth is, it's not true. Meaning, once the pot's been broken, it's not that chazara becomes aser. We'll say, it's that what? Chazara becomes impossible. Chazara means the act of returning a pot to a covered fire to which the pot and covered fire have an unbroken bond. Once the pot has been actively put down somewhere else, then what? The bond is broken. Once the bond is broken, there is no longer any chazara. Incredible. Rabbi Ami, Rabbi Tadoi, the Avid Legarmehu, the Avid. So I will say ultimately again, when perhaps it could be that Rabbi Tadoi did this, ultimately maybe he was only doing this for himself, but the halacha does not follow him. So the Gemara says, Elahachi Amr Rabchia Amr Yochanan Afilu Hinicha Gabe Karka Mutter. Wow. So I will say, comes along Rabbi Chia, and Rabbi Yochanan says, no, even if you put the pot down on the ground, halacha lamaisa, chazara will still be permitted. To which the Gemara says, in reality, this is a machlokas. Pligi ba Rav Dimi, Rosh Lobar Yehuda, Vataran, Mishad Rabbi Elazar, Amri, Chad Amar, Ba'odan Biyado Mutter, Agabe Karka Aser. One opinion said that it is only if you're holding the pot in your hand that you have the right to return it to the covered fire. But once you put it down on the ground, the bond between the pot and the covered fire are broken, and therefore Chazara is Aser. However, v'chadamar hinichan al gavi karker nami mutter, and the other opinion said, even if you put the pot on the ground, ultimately again it'll still be mutter to return it to the covered fire. Amr chizki mishrei d'abaye had amrit odin biyado. Furthermore, again, Abbas comes along. Abaye says as follows: Chizki sendei abaye. Even that which we said that if you're still holding on to the pot, you can return it to the covered fire is only when. When you had kavana, intention to return. So we'll say, remember again, this is all about maintaining connection between the pot and the covered fire. And the shaila now is, what are the criteria necessary to have in place to maintain connection between the pot and the blech? So comes along Abayi and says, it's not even enough to be holding it. What else do you need? Intention. Intention. That at the time you took it off, you had in mind to put it back. Aval in daito lahachzir aser. But lamais, if you didn't have intention to put the pot back on the fire, then ultimately again it is going to be aser. Mechlal dal gabe karko, aval pisha daito lahachzir aser. Which, if in first taswata bosai, that therefore if you put it the pot down on the ground, even if you had intention to return it back to the blech, it's still going to be aser. Alternate version of this is that when do we say if you put the pot down on the ground, you can't return it? That's only if you didn't have das. But if you have das, intent is so strong that even if you put it down on the ground, halach lamais, you can still return it to the stovetop. What that makes it sound like is, if the pot is in my hand, even if my intention ultimately again is not to put it back, mutter. Ultimately again, it should still be mutter. By Rabbi Yirmiyahu, so Rabbi Yirmiyahu asked the shayla, Tlan b'makel, mahu. We'll say, what happens if halacha l'maisa, I suspended the pot on the end of a staff. So I didn't put it down, but I'm also not holding it. Also not holding it. So we'll say, is that considered to be enough of grasping it, of not nerves? We'll say, is at least putting it on a staff not considered to be like putting it down on the ground? So I should be able to do chazara or hinichra gabe mita mahu. Or what happens if I put the pot down on a bed? So I didn't put it on the ground, I put it on the bed. What's the halacha? By Rav Ashi says, pina mimecha olamecha mahu. But says, last case is interesting. What happens if what? What happens if I take a pot off the flame, I transfer the contents into another pot? Can I go ahead and can I put that second pot now back on the flame or back on the covered flame? To which the Gemara says, "My teku." So we'll say Eliyahu Navi will have to answer these kashas. So we'll say we spoke about this yesterday. So ideally for chazara, you need to satisfy five conditions. The first three, what are the five conditions? Number one, that the fire must be covered. Number two, the food must be fully cooked. Number three, the food must be warm, right? Still warm. Those, right, conditions four and five, you have to be holding on to the pot. And number five, you have to have intention to put it back on the covered flame. So ideally for chazara, you want to have all five of these conditions. But halacha l'maisa, the first three, you cannot live without. So we'll say, halacha l'maisa, in order to go ahead and take a pot off the flame and return it, or off the blech, we'll call it, and return it back to the blech on Shabbos, you must have the first three conditions. Number one, the food must be fully cooked. Number two, the food must be still warm. And number three, the fire must be covered. Ideally, you should have conditions 4 and 5, which are holding onto the pot and intention. But b'di'evet, if you're missing 4 and 5, you could still do chazara. But 1, 2, and 3 are an absolute must. Halacha l'maaseh, interestingly enough, we also paskin that if you were to go ahead and transfer the contents of pot number 1 into pot number 2. In other words, let's say you just want to transfer. Let's suppose that, you know, this could come up. Let's say you have a large pot of soup. You serve the soup. You want to still serve some more, but you want to transfer it to a second pot. If you transfer the contents of pots 1 into empty pot number 2, you could return that second pot to the fire again, or to the covered flame, to the blech, as long as conditions 1, 2, and 3 are still met. Good. Mishnah. Taner shesiku abekash. So we'll say now, up until now we've been speaking about Akira. We're going to see now that we are transitioning to a different discussion, something called a tanur. These are all different types of cooking utensils. So tanur shesiku abekash v'gavava. If you went ahead and you cooked our son, so we normally translate tanur as an oven, but this is actually a little bit different. As Rashi points out, the nature of this tanur, Abosei, is as follows. A tanur was built more like in a triangular, right? Up until now, I was speaking about Akira. So what's Akira? Akira is a big rectangle that has two holes for two pots on the top. That's Akira. A tanur is triangular. Now, what's the chapter triangular? Because it's triangular, is you have the heat source on the bottom, and all the heat concentrates on the top. So same thing, you're still putting a pot in the hole in the top of the tanur, but a tanur gets much hotter than a kira. Because of its triangular shape, it therefore gets much hotter. So says the Gemara, tanur shesiku abekash v'gavava, if you have a tanur that you heated up with straw or with stubble, lo yitein bein mitocho bein mi'al gabav, you can't put any food in it, nor can you put food on top of it. So we'll say the concern over here, ultimately again, is that because a tanur gets so hot, we don't want you using it on Shabbos at all. So kupach, what about a kupach? Shesiku. So we'll say kupach is a little bit different. Rashi says kupach is Rashi says begimar mafarish la asoy chelo kikira aval arko kirachbo ve'in bo elashir. So we'll say a kupach is essentially a one pot stove, but unlike a kira, which is rectangular, a kupach is a square and therefore gets hotter than a kira, but not as hot as a tanur. Okay, so therefore, again, a kupach sheseku bekash begaveva harezek kirayim. So if you heated up the kupach with straw and stubble, which almost is a heat source, which immediately burns up, then what? Then aloch lamais is treated like a kira, which means you can maintain food on it, assuming you satisfy the criteria. Begefes beisim, but if you heat it up with pulp from olives or from grapes or with wood, which is a heat source which remains, hareyu ketanur, it is like a tanur which should not be used on Shabbos. So says the Gemara Rabbah, so here we go. Tanur shesikua, if you went ahead and you fired up your tanur. So remember again, out of all the utensils, tanur gets the hottest. Remember again, tanur usually has space. It could be for one or two pots on top, but the chap of the tanur is because of its triangular shape, the heat source is on the bottom, and there's an incredible amount of heat that is generated for the pots on top. So if you heated up a tanur, Rabbi Yosef, Sav Rabbi Yosef, Lameimar, Tocho Mamish, Al gabav mamish. So what I said, the aloch is that what? That aloch lemaisa, and the inside of the tanner cannot be used at all. But on top, perhaps, for the tanner abosai, you can't put any food in it, and you can't use any food on top of it either. Because aloch lemaisa, because the heat of the tanner is so intense, we don't want you using this utensil at all on Shabbos. Avalismoch shapir dummy. But what can you do with a tanur, Abosai? You could put food next to a tanur. And when you put food next to a tanur, that at least allows the food to heat up through proximity to the tanur. To which the Gemara says, Esve Abaye Kupach Shesiku Abekash Begamava Haruki Kirayim. If you go ahead and you heat up a kupach, eat up a kupach. Shabbos, remember again, the kupach ultimately is the, it's kind of in between the kira, or I should say the tanur is top, the tanur is most heat, kira least amount of heat, kupach is there in the middle. So if you went ahead and you heated up the kupach with kash and gavava, straw and stubble, hayruk kirayim, which is like a kira, begefes ve'esim, but if you heated it up with pulp and wood, hareyu kitanur, it's like a tanur va'aser. So the Gemara says, ha kikira shari b'mayaskin. So when we say that it's like a kira, and it's permitted, what is that talking about? Ilema al gabov, if you want to say that it means that you could use the kupach when you heat it up with kashin gavava, that you could heat a pot on top of it. Ilema kisheinu garafakatum, if you want to say that it's not garafakatum, so the Gemara says, how could that be? Elakira, ki, right? Elakira, ki ena grufa ktuma al gabab mishari. And I will say again, if you're going to say that the kupach, when you heat it up with kash and gavva, is like a kira, so again, I will say similarly that a kira cannot be used unless it's garafakatum. So to what? The kupach also can't be used unless it's garafakatum. Ela lav lismoch. Rather, it must be that ultimately, again, you could use the kupach not directly, but you could put food next to it. Vikatani harehu kitanur va'asir, and yet we said it is like the tanur, it is asir. Amravadavar ava, hacha bekupach gav garov vikatov. What's the case of Bosai? The case that we're dealing with is with a kupach that is garov and katum. Right? So Bosai, kupach has the heat source inside, and the heat source either is blanketed with a layer of ash, or ultimately again, or is removed, or the heat source is removed. The tana grufa ktuma askinon. And I will say same thing with a tanur. That is grufa and ktuma. Harehu kitanur. So the Gemara says, da afa gav de garafakatum al gabav asr. So I will say it is like a tanur, and that what? Even if it's garafakatum, you still can't use it. De I kikira ki grufa ktuma shaper. So I will say what it sounds like over here is that a kupach, ultimately again, you'll be allowed to use it ultimately how? By placing a food item next to it to become heated, but you will not be permitted to use the top of that kupach on Shabbos. Tanya kavase dabai. So we'll see, here we go. We expound on this a little bit. So we'll say, so just so you get your Talmudic cooking utensils clear, we've been dealing with up until this Mishnah with a kira. What's a kira? Kira is a simple stove, a big rectangular box that has space for two pots on top of it that has the heat source inside of it. You could use a kira on Shabbos or even Erev Shabbos going into Shabbos as long as what? It's grufa or kituma. So we'll say then we transition to the other extreme. The other extreme is tanur. Can you use a tanur on Shabbos? No. The only shilat with a tanur is, can you heat food up by putting it next to a tanur on Shabbos? Then I'll say in the middle of a kira and the tanur, you have what's called the kupach. And I'll say again, a kupach sounds like it can be used. We're just not sure yet how it can be used. So here we go. Tanya kava said that by. I'll say here we go. The Bryce that supports a by. Second wide line. Tanur shesikua bikash begavava. If you have a tanur which was heated with straw and stubble, the boss, remember again, straw and stubble are fuels that immediately incinerate. So it says, therefore, again, there's no concern of shamei chat, they may come to adjust. So how, what's that? Locha in somchin lo. But say, you can't use a tanner at all. You can't use a tanner at all. Not even to put food next to it to heat up. We don't want you using a tanner on Shabbos. Vein tzarach lomar al gabov. Certainly you can't put food on top of a tanner. Vein tzarach lomar lo socho. And so you can't put food into a tanner. Vein tzarach lomar begeso be'etzim. And certainly, again, I will say, you can't use a tanner if you heat it with what? A heat source which remains, like with pulp and with wood. So we'll say, essentially, tanur is a simple halacha. What's the halacha of tanur? So halacha of tanur? Don't use it. You can't use it. You can't use it. You cannot use it. No matter what kind of heat source you use for it, you can't use it if you put stuff on top. You can't use it if you put stuff in it. You can't use it if you put stuff next to it. Somebody stops you today and says, by the way, what are the halachos of a tanur on Shabbos? No matter what you remember from Shas, you're going to remember this. Can't use a tanur. That's it. Next. Kupach. Shesiko begashagava. But what about your kupach? So remember again, your kupach is your smaller form of a kira, but whereas a kira is a rectangle, kupach is a square. And because kupach is a square, therefore generates more heat. So what can you do with the kupach? Kupach shesiko bekash begavava. So I'll say, if you heated up the kupach with kash and gavava, which means what? Those incinerate immediately. There's no heat source that's present. The heat is still there, but the heat source is not there. Therefore, there's no real concern of shemi yichate, that you may come to adjust and cause havara. What can you do? Sum chinlo. So when it comes to a kupach, Abaye says, you are permitted to put stuff next to the kupach. Next to the kupach, however, ve'enostin al gabov, but you may not put anything on, but you may not put anything on top of the kupach. Be'geves u'be'itzim, but if you heated up the kupach with geves and eitzim, and heat source, which remains, then what? Ein som chinlo. The halacha is that ultimately, again, we cannot put anything next to the kupach. So we'll say, if you use an adjustable heat source in the kupach, halacha lemaisa, you cannot go ahead and even use it for smicha. Amar le Rav Acha, b'rei Rav al Rav Ashi, hay kupach hikidami. So again, that seems to, that's the halachas. So pretty much tanur can't use at all. Kupach, if you heated it with a heat source that immediately incinerates, you can't use the kupa itself, but you can't put something next to the kupach. But if you go ahead and you heat the kupach with an adjustable heat source, can't use the kupach at all. Kira bosai, that's what we've been doing for the last day. What's the case of kupach? Ika kira. So we'll say if the kupach is like a kira, then afila begefes ube eitzim nami. Then even if you heated it up with gefes and eitzim, you should still be able to use it. Ika tanur dami. But if the kupach is like a tanur, then afila bekash begavava nami lo. Then you shouldn't be able to use the kupach under any circumstances, no matter what you heated it with. Amar lei, to which he responded, nafish havli midikira. Vizutar havli miditanur. But the truth is that the kupach is really kind of in the middle. On one hand, it gets hotter than a kira, but not as hot as a tanur. And therefore the Gemara says, Hechi dami kupach, hechi dami kira. So we'll say now, each of the Gemara says, at the end of the sugya, the Gemara says, by the way, physically, like just the metzias, what does a kupach look like and what does a kira look like? Amar Rabbi Yosi bar Chanina, kupach, makom shfisas kedera achas. It's very simple. The kupach, Rabosai, has only space for one pot on top. However, kira, makom shfisas shtei kederas. The kira ultimately, again, has a space for two pots. Amra Abaye v'itin Rabbi Yirmiya, afana nami taninas. Abaye said, Rabbi Yirmiya said as well. We also learn this. Kira shenechla kali arka, tahora. L'rachba tmeah. So we'll say this is not talking about tumas kelim. In tumas kelim, we'll remember again, if you have a utensil which became tameh, so one of the ways in which you're able to go ahead and make the item tar is how? Is lemaisa again by reducing the functionality of the item. If the item can no longer function in a normal fashion, it becomes tahar. It becomes tar. So for example, if you have a kira and the kira was split along its length, therefore, Rabbi Yosai doesn't have the ability to hold any pot. It's tar l'rachba, but if it was split according by its width, Rabbi Yosai, remember again, a kira technically has a spot on the stovetop to hold two pots. Therefore, if it's split along its width, it's still usable. Why? Because the assumption is at least it'll still be able to hold one pot. Kupach, on the other hand, kupach, bein li'arka, bein l'rachba tar. Both said the kupach, on the other hand, halach lemaisa, whether it, because the kupach only holds one pot, whether it was split along its width or along its length, ultimately, again, it is going to become tar because it is no longer usable. So I'll say, so bottom line, halach lemaisa, in the realm of Talmudic utensils, a tanur can not be used for anything on Shabbos. You can't put something on top of it. You can't put something in it. You can't put something next to it. And it makes no difference what you're using to fuel or to heat the tanur. A kupach rabosai, salach lamaisa, if you are fueling it with a heat source which remains in existence, you can't use it at all. But if you're fueling it with a heat source which ultimately, again, incinerates immediately like kash and gavava, you can't use the top of it, you can't use the inside of it, but you can heat up food by placing an item next to it. I will say kira. So remember again, kira was all of the halachos that we saw before. So kira, you can't use the inside of it, but you can use the top of it. albeit with a blech. Good Abbas, we'll stop over here at the Gemara for today. Because it's Yom Tov, let's spend it. Those who are able to stay a few minutes in Meretz Hashem for Mesilas Yesharim. Just in Meretz Hashem to get in a little bit of Musar. Always need a